Genesis 23 today on Through the Word, a chapter of wisdom that can only be found in the house of mourning. Abraham and Sarah, faithfully married for so many decades, pilgrims and sojourners together to the end, are separated at last by death. At verse 1, Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died at Kiriath Arba, that is, Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham went in to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. So Sarah is gone from this world, and Abraham weeps. They were married for a century. Abe and Sarah are both known for their faith in God and their faithfulness to God. But it should not be missed that this man and woman who were faithful to God were also faithful to each other. Oh, they had their trials, and they both had their failures. They had foolish ideas and bad mistakes, but they also had each other, and their relationship with each other outlasted all the rest. Abraham was called to one wild adventure of a faith walk, and Sarah followed her husband faithfully through it all. She stuck with him, even through his failings and weaknesses, and together they saw God faithful to keep his promise. Sarah is one of the great female heroes of the Word, a woman of faith, and in the New Testament she's made an example for Christian wives everywhere. Here in Genesis 23, Sarah dies, and Abraham weeps. A man of faith can weep, but his tears are not the tears of despair. They're tears of loss, to be sure, but I believe they were also full of hope. When a loved one dies, that time in the valley of the shadow of death can teach you some things. There is wisdom to be found in mourning. Ecclesiastes 7 says, "The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of pleasure." So what does our old wise man Abraham learn from his mourning time? Let's read verse 3. "And Abraham rose up from before his dead and said to the Hittites, 'I am a sojourner and a foreigner among you. Give me property among you for a burying place, that I may bury my dead out of my sight.'" So Abraham gets up from his weeping, and his first words are, "I am a sojourner and foreigner among you." This is the first time we see Abraham acknowledge this fact. Now, he says this, for one, because he doesn't own any land to bury his wife. But I believe that Abraham has a profound realization here. Death has taught him something. Hebrews 11 retells much of Abraham's story as a powerful example of the journey of faith, along with many other faith heroes. Hebrews 11:13 references this story directly. Speaking of those Old Testament heroes, it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth." This word in Hebrews is directly about Abraham. He never received all the land that God promised him, not while he was still alive anyway, but he knew that it was coming, and he acknowledged, right here in our story, that he was a stranger and an exile. It took Sarah's death to really get it, but he got it. Then Hebrews says, "If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city." This is the heart of the entire story. Abraham and Sarah walked together and walked by faith. They were promised a homeland, but at some point they came to the realization that home was not on this earth. Now, the promised land for their promised descendants was indeed the land where they sojourned. But their home, their real land of promise, was a heavenly city. Abraham watched cities and kingdoms rise and fall. He saw two go down in burning sulfur, the very place where his nephew had tried to make a home on earth. So he and Sarah lived in tents. Their lives were marked by two things, tents and altars. They were pilgrims here. Hebrews 11 also says, "He was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God." And that is our calling as well, if we are to walk by faith in Jesus. You may not really own that fact until you reach the house of mourning, but every house here is a tent. The only city with foundations that last is the one whose builder is God. Abraham understood, but he still needed some land for a tomb to bury his wife's old tent, that is, her body. So Abe visits the Hittites nearby to buy some land. And then in verse 5, "The Hittites answered Abraham, 'Hear us, my lord. You are a prince of God among us. Bury your dead in the choicest of our tombs, None of us will withhold from you his tomb to hinder you from burying your dead. So the Hittites are agreeable, and Abraham chooses a location. Two times Abraham uses the phrase, bury my dead out of my sight. Abraham learns something in the house of mourning, but he does not intend to live his entire life there. There's a good lesson here for Christians. Allow death to teach you its lessons, but don't dwell on that shadow forever. Jesus defeated death for us, and he is faithful to turn our mourning into dancing, in his time, if we are willing to dance again. In verse 9, the location Abraham chooses for a tomb is the cave of Machpelah, which means double doors. It's a fitting place to bury a believer. In Christ, the grave has two doors, an entry and an exit. The cave at Machpelah belonged to a man named Ephron, and in verse 11, Ephron responds, "No, my lord, hear me. I give you the field, and I give you the cave that is in it. In the sight of the sons of my people, I give it to you. Bury your dead." Now this appears to be very generous of Ephron, but I think I know a ridiculous dance when I see one. Ephron is attempting to start the ridiculous bargaining dance with Abraham. This is a common bargaining tactic used in the Middle East to this day. You have a known buyer, so you make yourself look generous by offering it for free. It's rarely genuine, but it looks good. Abraham insists on paying for the cave, so Ephron responds again that it's a gift, but he happens to let the price slip along the way. In verse 15, "My lord, listen to me. A piece of land worth 400 shekels of silver, what is that between you and me? Bury your dead." Now, Bible scholars tell us that this 400 shekels was way overpriced, probably a bargaining starter. But Abraham steps up and pays the full amount. Abe knows that he's just passing through this life, but he does not want to leave behind any unpaid debts. So Abraham pays in full. In verse 20, "The field and the cave that is in it were made over to Abraham as property for a burying place by the Hittites." And so the chapter closes with Abraham dwelling in a land promised to him by God, a land large enough for a nation, here purchasing the only property he would ever own in his lifetime. Abraham walked by faith. Read Genesis 23 today, and read Hebrews 11 too if you can. If you are mourning, learn something there, but do not mourn as those who have no hope. Jesus conquered death. He rose from his cave. And in Christ, we say with Abraham and with Sarah, and with the writer of Hebrews, "Here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come."
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.